Morning. Today's daf in Yevamah daf Lamed Dalad. Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Amud. Let's recall. The Mishnah back on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph brought down a very straightforward scenario in the world of Yibum, where two brothers are married to two sisters, and one of the brothers dies. So if Reuben dies, so Shimon now is prohibited from marrying his Yevamah. And the reason why is because she's two things. She's number one, she's Eishasach, and number two, she's Achos Ishto. It's his brother's wife, and it's his wife's sister. And as a result of that, so those are two arayos, and consequently, he cannot do the mitzvah of Yibam. And the Mishnah's point was is that even if his wife were to die subsequently, it doesn't matter, because since they were Asr at the point of Nefilah, so then she always will be Asr to him. Good, that was the Mishnah. And then what happened after that is the Gemara got into a very big discussion of the topic of Ein Isser Chal Isser, whether or not you can have one prohibition lay on top of another prohibition. And this is a machlokus between the Tanaim. We're going to see over the course of today, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, and a little bit of Rabbi, together with two Rabbi students, Rabbi Chiyam Bar Kapara. So we are going to be, and we're going to be sitting on this one topic primarily for the rest of today. So we'd like to... Okay, well, that's the game plan for today. Let's recall what we saw yesterday in terms of a brisa. A man has relations with his sister-in-law, and she's a double sister-in-law, meaning she double sister-in-law. She was his wife's sister, and she was the brother's wife as well. So the what would be the resulting isurim if he did so? So if you recall back in the brisa, so we had a machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi says both. You'll be violating both isurim, which gives the impression that according to Rabbi Yossi, Isser Chal Al Isser, that you can have one Isser stand on top of another Isser. And then Rabbi Shimon says, no, you only get one. Which one? Whichever came first. In other words, if Reuben married his wife first, so then that means she's Eishasach. And then even though subsequently Shimon married the sister, that doesn't matter. In other words, because Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. And we can reverse it. If Shimon married his wife first, and so therefore that the other woman is Achos Ishto. And so even though Reuben married her, that second Isser doesn't apply. All right, and then the Gemara was bothered yesterday. That means that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you have Eishasach, so Achos Ishto can't lay on top of Eishasach, so then how come we can't do the mitzvah of Yibum? Right? That's a pretty straightforward question. Meaning the only prohibition of doing the mitzvah of Yibum is if there's another Erva, any one of the 15 mentioned in the first Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shimon, who subscribes to the principle of Ein Isser Chal Isser, so you're not going to have that second Erva. So the answer, what the Gemara gave, is that even according to Rabbi Shimon, get in line. In other words, since you have, it's not that the second Isser goes away. The second Isser is there, lurking, waiting, sitting in the back, and because it's behind the line, so therefore, the Isser of Eishasach is not going to be lifted. Okay, Ad Kan. That took us basically through yesterday's daf. One other point to review, and then let's go on. We also yesterday very quickly introduced ourselves to the idea of Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel. So let's just quickly explore these two ideas, and then we'll go move forward in the Gemara. Okay, the idea of Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel is that even according to Rabbi Shimon, who subscribes to the idea that Ein Isser Chal Isser, but if there's a qualitative benefit, not benefit, wrong word, right? If the second Isser adds a component that the first Isser does not have, so then the second Isser can lay on top of the first Isser. And basically, we're going to put this in one of two categories. We're either going to call it Isser Mosif, or we're going to call it Isser Kolel. The difference between the two, I'm giving a very simple view of what the difference between the two is that Isser Mosif means is that the second Isser not only is a prohibition upon you, but it's a prohibition on others as well. So in other words, in the case, the Gemara said yesterday, in the case where Shimon marries his wife, and that means now his sister-in-law is Achos Ishto, and then Reuven marries that woman, right, your sister-in-law. So when Reuven marries her, that's an Isser Mosif. Why is that an Isser Mosif? Because when Reuven marries her, not only she already was prohibited to you, but by Reuven marrying her, she's going to be prohibited to all the other brothers as well. And since she's going to be prohibited to all the other brothers, she's also going to be prohibited to you. That's Isser Mosif. Mosif means we're adding more people. Okay, and what is Kolel? Kolel means that the second Isser, more items are going to be usher to you. In other words, it's not that it includes other people per se, but in other words, from the perspective of the nidon, from the perspective of the person in question, the second Isser doesn't include more people, but includes more Isurim to him. Okay?
It's reverse case.
And that would be, exactly. And the Gemara says, perfect. And the Gemara says, and that would be in the reverse case. Well, let's say Reuben marries her first. Now, Reuben marrying her, she already is usher to all the brothers. Now, when Shimon marries the sister, so now what? So now, so from Shimon's perspective, so now there are more Isurim for him, meaning the sister-in-law was already usher, because the brother already married the sister. But the but there are going to be more Isurim towards him, meaning because all the other sisters of this woman are now going to become prohibited. So from the perspective of the Nidon, more items, I know we're talking about women over here, but from the perspective of the Nidon, more items are prohibited to him. Okay, and generally, the line of thinking is as follows. If Rabbi Shimon is going to, in other words, Rabbi Shimon's default position is Ein Isser Chalal Isser. That's Rabbi Shimon's default position. If he's going to add another Isser, for sure he'll add Isser Mosif, and maybe he'll add Isser Kolo. Meaning Isser Mosif is more cause to say, more reason to say, that the second Isser will be applicable to the first Isser. As opposed to Isser Kolo, where there, no, it's not more people that are becoming Isser, it's more objects, and so there's less argument to say. So far, so good. That is all just a review of what we saw yesterday. Let's go on in the Gemara Uve Plukta. Okay, we're in the Gemara. We're on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. And we're starting about 10 lines at the top of the Amud Uve Plukta. Gemara here is going to give us three cases back to back to back. And all these three cases, we're going to have a debate between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappar. Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappar are two students of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And they're going to be arguing basically on the issues that we just discussed. Although they're not going to frame it the way we framed it, but we'll go through the three cases, we'll see their positions, and then the Gemara, on the top of Lama Gimel Malaf, is going to frame it in the context that we just discussed. Case number one, Zar Shishimash B'Shabbos, they have a non-Kohen who does the Avoda on Shabbos. So Rabbi Chiya Omer Chayv Shtayim. So Rabbi Chiya says, okay, that's two liabilities. In other words, first of all, he's a non-Kohen. Non-Kohen that does Avoda, Chayv. And top of that, he did his Mechal Shabbos. Excuse me. Chayv. So Rabbi Chia says you're chayev two. Now, when we say chayev two, so in what context are we talking about two? So as Rashi here points out, there are two isurim, and not a carbon chatos because as Rashi points out, Rashi is all the way on the bottom. As Rashi points out, a zar doing avoda is not a chiyuv kares. It's misa b'dei shamayim. It's like one notch below. But for Misa B'Dei Shamayim, if done unintentionally, inadvertently, you're not going to bring a Karmen Chattas. But still, the point is that according to Rabbi Chiya, that's two Isurim. Bar Kappar Omer and Chayv Alachas. And Bar Kappar says, no, you only Chayv one. And now the fight. Kafetz Rabbi Chiya V'Nishba. Rabbi Chiya jumps up, reacting with emotion. And he jumps up and he says, Avodah, my God, Kach Shemati Merebi. I heard it directly from Rabbi, meaning Rabbi Chiya was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. I heard it from him. So, Shemati Merebi Shtayim. And he said two liabilities. Kafetz Bar Kappar V'Nishba, and Bar Kappar also jumps up, and he also gets excited, and he also gets emotional. And he says, Avodah, Kach Shemati Merebi. Achas, I heard from Rebbe one. Hischa Rebbe Chiya Ladon, and Rebbe Chiya now gives an argument. And his argument goes like this. Shabbos is called Nasra. Look, Shabbos is a Isser, is a prohibition for everybody. It's all inclusive. Everyone is bound by the laws of Shabbos. And Kishahusha B'Mikdash, it's a Kohanim, Uchul, Kohanim, Uchul, V'Lalazarim. And meanwhile, of course, there's a dispensation that you can do the Avoda in the base of Mikdash on Shabbos, but who's that dispensation for? It's only for the Kohanim. It's not for non-Kohanim. So Yesh Kamishim Saras V'Yesh Kamishim Shabbos. So that means now that if I have a non-Kohen do the Avoda on Shabbos, so give him two liabilities. Because even though, yes, you can do Avoda on Shabbos, but that dispensation is only for the Kohanim. So ring him up for being a non-Kohen. He'll get one liability for that, and ring him up for being Mechal Shabbos, because that wasn't lifted for him. Hischa Bar Kappar Ladon, and Bar Kappar says, no, let me make my argument. Shabbos is called Nesra. Shabbos is prohibited to everyone. Kishu Hutra B'Mikdash Hutra. And meanwhile, in the base of Mikdash, it becomes Hutter, and that Heter and that dispensation is a blanket dispensation, meaning it's not specific to Kohanim. Anyway. It's anyone can do the Avoda. Now, when we say anyone, of course, we don't really mean anyone, but vis-a-vis Shabbos, from the Shabbos standpoint, Shabbos is lifted. So, Ein Kanya Lazarus. So that means that when the Zar does the Avoda on Shabbos in the base of Mikdash, so he's only ring him up for only one liability, and that's for non-Kohen doing the Avoda. Okay, that's case number one. Let's go. Case number two. Let's say you have a kohen who's blemished, has a physical blemish. The Gemara in Bechoros goes over all the physical blemishes that disqualify a kohen from doing the avoda. But a bal mum is doing the avoda, and he's doing so in a state of tumma. So Rabbi Chiya omer chayiv shtayim, and by the way, the positions are going to be consistent. Rabbi Chiya says, ring him up for two liabilities. Bar Kapara omer nechayiv alachas. Bar Kapara says, no, only one. And now here we go. Kafetz Rabbi Chiya v'nishba avodah kach shamati mi Rabbi shtayim. And again, the reaction, the emotional reaction, Rabbi Chiya says, no, I heard from Rabbi two. And Kafetz Bar Kapara v'nishba avodah kach shamati mi Rabbi achas. And Bar Kapara says, no, I heard from Rabbi one. Hizchol Rabbi Chiya ladon. And here we go now. And the arguments are going to be pretty much the same arguments. Tuma la kol nesra, you know, tuma, that is a general prohibition. And the Jewish people in the state of tuma cannot do the avoda. And meanwhile, when it's lifted, meaning if the majority of the Jewish people are tummy, or the majority of the kohanim are tummy, so there is a dispensation. But Rabbi Chiya argues, but who's the dispensation towards? It's only towards those kohanim are eligible to do the avodah, i.e., kohanim tamimim. But if you're a kohen ba'mom, you weren't given a dispensation. So yesh kamishum ba'le mamim, yesh kamishum tuma. And so therefore, if you're a kohen ba'mom doing the avodah in a state of tuma, so you get ringed up for both. That's both a violation of doing avodah while being tame, and he's also ba'mom. And his chabak kapaladon. And Bar Kapara's argument is going to be very similar to the previous argument that he made. Tuma lachol nesra. Tuma is a prohibition for everybody. But kishuhutra b'mikdashutra. And meanwhile, if the Jewish people are tamei, the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, it is lifted. Lifted meaning for everybody. Now, ein kana l'mishum ba'mum. And so therefore, when the kohen ba'mum is doing the avoda, even though he's doing it in a state of tuma, he only gets rung up for doing the avoda while being in a state of, while being a ba'mum. Okay, and that is now Machlokas number two. And here we go, Machlokas number three. Zarsha Acha Malika. A non-Kohen who eats Malika. We know when a bird is offered in the base of Mikdash, a bird can either be either an Ola or a Chatas. Now an Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, so we're not talking about an Ola, we're talking about a Chatas bird. Chatas bird, what happens is that the Kohen shechts it, offers parts of it onto the Mizbeach, and then consumes the rest of it. But when I say Shechita, I don't really mean Shechita. We, of course, mean Malika, where the Kohen is going to take his thumb, his fingernail of the thumb, insert it into the back of the neck of the bird, and that's the mitzvah of Malika. Now, normally, if that's done to an animal or to a bird, that's not shechting. That's called rendering the bird an avela. But in the base of Mikdash, that's exactly how the Torah demands it to be done. So therefore, we have what's called hutra. And the Gemara now, again, goes over the same discussion. So Rabbi Chiya omer chayiv shtayim bar kapar omer nechayiv alachas kafas. Rabbi Chiya v'nishba avodah kach shamati mi Rabbi shtayim. Kafas bar kapar v'nishba avodah kach shamati mi Rabbi achas. So again, Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapar are arguing whether this is two liabilities or one liabilities, and both claiming they heard it directly from Rabbi. Hizcha Rabbi Chiya ladon avei lachol ne'esra. And again, the arguments, which are going to sound very similar, identical. Rabbi Chiya says that, look, Nevela, that's a prohibition for every Jew. No Jew is allowed to eat Nevela. And in the base of Mikdash, it's lifted. But who is it lifted towards? It's only lifted for the Kohanim, because they're the only ones who can eat carbon. By the way, we're talking about a carbon chatos. Carbon chatos can only be eaten by the Kohanim. So now it was only lifted for the Kohanim, not for non-Kohanim. Yesh kamishum zarf, yesh kamishum malika. And therefore, Rabbi Chiya says, ring him up for two. Because number one, he's eating nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela. Number two, he's not a kohen, and he's eating carbon. Ring him up for that as well. And his chabak kapar ladon nevela lachol nesra kishuhutra b'mikdashutra ain kan ela mishum zaros. And Bar Kapara says no. Once the prohibition of nevela is lifted by the malikas of chatas, it's lifted for everybody. Now, of course, not everyone's allowed to eat it. But the prohibition is lifted, and because the prohibition is lifted, so the only thing left that this non-Kohen is violating is, he's a czar, he's a non-Kohen eating carbon. Good. B'mai kamiflagi. Okay. At this point, in the context of this Gemara, the question over here is not hilarious, but it's funny. Meaning, what are they arguing about? Meaning, in every three of these cases, Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapara laid out their arguments. So what the Gemara now is asking is, there's another way to view these machloksim. Meaning, yes, they did. Each one of them presented an argument. That's true. But now we're going to present the argument in our context. Meaning in the context of Isser Chalal Isser. because really that's why we're talking about it. Meaning that when we started the daf today, we started with the words uve plokta, meaning they provided their arguments, but really the underlying argument of both Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara is the issue of whether or not we have one Isser can lay on top of another Isser. So b'may kemifligi b'Isser kol v'alibah de Rav Yossi. So the Gemara argues like this. What they're arguing about is the issue of Isser kolo according to Rabbi Yossi. Meaning, remember, on the issue of ein Isser chal al Isser, the first thing you got to do is you got to take a position. Meaning, we know it's a basic machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And we know that Rabbi Shimon generally speaking is of the opinion ein Isser chal al Isser. And we know that Rabbi Yossi holds that Isser is chal al Isser, again with modification. So the first thing you got to do in this discussion is you got to take a side. So the Gemara says that what Rabbi Chiya Bar Kappara is assuming is that when Rabbi taught him, now remember, both of them have two different viewpoints of what Rabbi said. One, Rabbi Chiya says that Rabbi said two in every three of these, in each of these three cases, and Bar Kappara says no, only one. Fine. But first things first, who are we holding like? So the Gemara says we're holding like Rabbi Yossi. What's the issue over here? The issue over here is Isser Kolo, as we're about to explain. Rabbi Chiya Sever, we're on the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, for second line down. Rabbi Chiya Sever, Rabbi Yossi, Be'Isser Kolo Mechayev Tarti. So according to Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yossi says that if it's an Isser Kolo, you're going to be Chayev too. And Bar Kappara Sever, Lo Mechayev Elochada. And Bar Kappara says no. If it's only Isser Kolel, meaning, and it's not anything greater than that, so then Rabbi Yossi would only be Chayv 1, not 2. Umay Isser Kolel Ikahacha. So now what we have to do is we have to revisit every one of these three cases, and we have to come to a determination, how is it Isser Kolel? Again, let's remind each other. Isser Kolel is the idea that the second Isser makes these, is greater in the sense that not more people, that's Isser Mosif, but more items become prohibited to you. Okay, that's Isser Kolo. So now let's revisit every one of these three cases and think about how each one of them is an Isser Kolo. Bishlam azar mikar shar memelacha v'aser ba'avoda. So the Gemara says in case number one, we have a non-Kohen. So he's allowed to do melacha, meaning not during the week. During the week. But he can't do the avoda. Fine. So right now, for him, avoda is prohibited. Asya la Shabbos. And now Shabbos comes along, migodka mitzvah b'malacha mitzvah nami b'avoda. So that's why it's Isser Kolel, because avoda, we're looking at avoda as an item. I know that's, it's hard to do, in other words, conceptually, but still, that's basically what we're doing. We're looking at avoda as an item. So what happens is that on Shabbos, malacha becomes prohibited, meaning non-avoda related matters becomes prohibited. And since malacha becomes prohibited, so that's more items, so to say, so to avoda becomes prohibited as well. Okay, to him, but right, correct. So just to him. So bam mom ikara, now we're up to case number two. Case number two is also an Isser Kolel. Bam mom ikara shara b'achil v'asar b'avoda. A blemished Kohen is allowed to eat carbon. Okay? Meaning, a blemished Kohen can't do the avoda. The Gemaras elsewhere tell us that the Baal Mum Kohen will do other work in the Beis HaMikdash. He's certainly entitled to be in the Beis HaMikdash. He can't, right, the wood, deworming the wood. Okay, not glorified jobs, but still, jobs that needed to be done. So, and he's entitled to eat carbon. He can't shecht the carbon. He can't, well, maybe he can. He should, I'm thinking out loud right now. Right, he shouldn't be any worse than a czar. Okay, he can't do Kabbalah Saddam, he can't do Halacha, he can't do Zrika Saddam, fine. So he can't do any of those avodas. But he's allowed to eat carbon, so it melee, so now he becomes Tame. Migu de kamatza be'achila mitzunami abavoda. So from the perspective of the Baal Mom, once he becomes Tame, since he's prohibited now from eating, he's also prohibited from doing the avoda as well. Now again, the avoda was already prohibited to him, but that's exactly the point of Isser Kolel. Isser Kolel is the argument of since another item becomes prohibited to him, so too the original item also becomes prohibited to him as well. Okay, so that's how Isser Kolel would work in case number two. But now we're up to case number three. In case number three, that's difficult, really difficult, to come up to Isser Kolel. Ela Malika b'vasacha si demishkachala b'Isser Kolel mishkachala. See, the problem with Malika is as follows. What are the two prohibitions by Malika? Again, we have a non-Kohen eating a bird that was Nimlach. So what's the two prohibitions? Number one, Nevela. Number two, is the non-coming. All right. The problem is that such a scenario only is brought about simultaneous. And it's not zeh achar zeh, it's not one after another. And Rashi explains that. I'm going to just paraphrase the Rashi outside, but I strongly encourage you to look at the Rashi inside at a later time. But Rashi explains like this. Look, before a bird is shechted, meaning it's a carbon, so that bird is obviously prohibited in its present state. But what's that prohibition? That prohibition is me'ila, meaning it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and any usage of that bird, if you eat it, it's obviously misappropriation, aside from the fact that it's not shechted. But okay, that's a technicality, and not a small one. But in other words, but right now, in its current state, it's Kachi Hashem, it's property of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, it falls under the category of Me'ila. So what happens? The Kohen now is going to take his thumb and insert it into the back of the neck of the bird. So at that point in time now, the Isser of Me'ila is lifted, and two prohibitions are going to now concur on this bird. Number one, it now becomes a Nevela, because it died without the benefit of a Shechita. Number two, a non-Kohen cannot eat it at this very point in time, because he's not a Kohen. So these two Isurim come, as the Gemara describes, bevasachas, come simultaneously.
He couldn't have eaten it even before the Shechita.
Agreed. But that's that. But as Rashi points out, but that's a different Isur. That's not the Isur of Nevela. That's the Isur of Me'ila. Right. That's how Rashi describes it. Which, again, you have to say something. No, because it's not an addition, because that's a separate Isur. That's a totally different Isur. We are looking specifically at the Isurim of a non-Kohen eating carbon, and the Isser of Nevela. And again, those two only come about at the point of Malika. So the Gemara says it comes with Vasachas, but the Gemara says it doesn't come one after another. And again, we're looking for a scenario where it's one after another, and the second one is introducing other Isurim, or it's including Kolov. It's including other Isurim. But you don't have that in the case of Malika. So the Gemara says, again, we're trying to understand where the difference lies between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara. Aside from the basic issue, which they're hearing it from the same Rabbi, and one is claiming two and the other is claiming one, but in terms of lumdus, what are they arguing about? So right now the Gemara is proposing, well, they both assume like Rabbi Yossi, that Isser, the second Isser will lay on top of the first Isser, but only if the second Isser is more inclusive, if it's kolo. But then the Gemara went through case 1, 2, and 3. In case number 1 and number 2, it is Isser Kol, but not in case number 3. That's a problem. So the Gemara says, Ela, kamifligi b'Isser b'vasachas, v'aliba d'Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to shift our entire thinking. Really, well, you know what they're arguing about? They're arguing about simultaneous. They're talking about now concurrent Isserim. So now let's say it. Let's make one summary sentence, and then we'll go forward in the Gemara. Now, in the world of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, when a second Isser does not lay on top of an original Isser, so now we could talk now about three exceptions. Number one, Isser Mosif. Number two, Isser Kolal. And number three, Bevas Achas. If the two Isserim come simultaneously, so then we can argue that one Isser is laying on top of another Isser, and for a very simple reason. Because it's not one Isser laying on top of another Isser, they're both being introduced at the exact same time. Okay. And the Gemara now is arguing that maybe these three cases are all concurrent. So the Gemara is, and Valiba de Rav Yossi, and again, choosing a Tana, we're going to choose Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Chiya Sava, Rabbi Yossi, Be'ezer Bavasachas, Mechayev Tarte, Ubar Kapara Sava, Lo Mechayev Alachada. And that's the machlokus between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapara, where Rabbi Chiya says if it comes concurrently, two. And Bar Kapara says if it comes concurrently, one. And the Gemara says, "Va'halcha mai iser b'vasachas." So the Gemara says again, we're going to have to go now through every one of these three cases and find out how each one of these cases could happen concurrently. So let's go. Number one, "Ha'chazar shishimish b'shabbes kagon da'isu shtei zaras b'shabbes da'avi lizaras b'shabbes b'hadei adade." So case number one, these cases are extremely unlikely, but that's not the point. The point is that we could manage to construct a scenario in which they come concurrently. So case number one, how can you have him being a non-Kohen and the prohibitions of Shabbos come concurrently? He becomes an adult on Shabbos. So he becomes an adult on Shabbos. So now the prohibition of Shabbos and the fact that he's a non-Kohen doing the Avodah are going to occur concurrently. Okay. And the Gemara describes him becoming an adult on Shabbos, meaning that Shtei Sa'aris come on Shabbos. Okay, which Again, remember the point of adulthood is not just shanim, it's not just years, it's not just becoming 13 years of age, but it's also shteis ta'aris as well. They're both necessary criteria to become a gadol. Case number two, ba'amum kagon de aisi shteis ta'aris v'itmela da'avilei ba'amum v'toma ba'hadei adade. In the case of him being a blemished kohen and also being tamei, so again the Gemara says that he was blemished and he was tamei before his 13th birthday, and he becomes a gadol, and now both of those scenario, both of those prohibitions are going to occur concurrently at the exact moment where he becomes an adult. Inami, the Gemara says over here also, just to be a little creative, the Gemara comes up with another scenario where the Bamom and the Tumah come concurrently, and that is Shechata Chetzba B'Sakin Tameya. Taking a knife that's Tamei, and then making an incision in his body with the knife that's Tamei, and so therefore his Tumah and his blemish come concurrently. Now, if you want to... If you want to nitpick, I mean, you're right. On this line of Gemara, we could spend a couple more... I don't want to spend a couple more minutes, but you could spend a little more time just analyzing. First of all, the Tumah comes at the point of contact, and the blemish doesn't come until the incision is made a little bit deeper. So it's not exact concurrence. On top of that, you can also discuss how a knife... If a knife is Tameh, meaning if the knife is not an Avatoma, he doesn't become Tameh with the incision. On a rabbinic level, he'll become Tameh, but not on a Daraisa level. Now, the halach is that if a knife comes into contact with a mace, with a dead body, so the knife does become an Avatoma. Okay, so there's more to discuss over here, but again, we're just dealing with how can case number two be concurrent? Good. The Gemara gave two scenarios. Now, Bishlam al-Rabbi Chia, and case number three, by the way, by definition is concurrent. That way the Gemara already established. That when the Kohen presses his thumb into the back of the neck of the bird, so the prohibition of Nevela is at that point, and a non-Kohen eating it also begins at that very moment as well. So, Bishlam al-Rabbi Chia, so fine. So good, so now we have set it up that all three cases are talking about where the two Yisurim occur concurrently.
But I think the Yisur Kol Atat have to be for that particular individual. When Kohen does a Melika, it's to all Zars, not to this one particular guy.
In other words, as long as... Right now we're talking about concurrency, and because it happens at the same time, the Gemara has jumped ship on Yisur Kol. The Gemara now is moving, jump ship. The Gemara now is right now focusing on Bavasachas. And that's right now the only thing that is allowing both Yisurim to come at the same time. Now, Bishlam al-Rabbi Chia. Now, the Gemara says now, and this happens so many times. I'm quoting the Rebbe says one thing. You're quoting the same Rebbe, he's saying another thing. So, is there a way to explain it? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to do now. Bishlam l'Rabbi Chia ki yasni l'didei aliba d'Rabbi Yosi ki yasni l'bar kapar aliba d'Rabbi Shimon. So from Rabbi Chia's standpoint, Rabbi Chia says, I know exactly what happened. I was learning with Rabbi, and Rabbi was teaching me these cases, and he was teaching it to me based on the principle of Rabbi Yosi. And Rabbi Yosi says that if I have concurrent Isurim, the two will apply at the same time, because he was teaching it to me aliba de Rabbi Yossi, because that's Rabbi Yossi Shita. And then on a different occasion when he was teaching Bar Kapara, he was teaching Bar Kapara not aliba de Rabbi Yossi, aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Again, they're two both tenable positions. And so what Bar Kapara misunderstood is that the context in which it was being taught was under the context of Rabbi Shimon. So aliba de Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, even Bevas Achas. Now, I guess you can ask a very simple question. If it's not, if both Yisurim don't apply, well, which one does? Meaning, if they occur concurrently, you're only going to be Chayiv one, so why should... Right, which one do you go by? All right, I raised the question. I don't have the answer, but certainly something to think about. Ella Bar Kapara. But now the Gemara says, but let's turn our attention out to Bar Kapara. How did he understand the difference between him and Rabbi Chia? Rabbi Chia says two, he says one. From his perspective, how did that work? Rabbi Chia, Shikur Kamashakir, his only move is to call Rabbi Chia a liar. But the Gemara says, but let's not do that. Meaning, from Rabbi Chia's standpoint, I have an excellent way to explain what happened. When Rabbi was teaching me, he was teaching me according to Rabbi Yossi. When he was teaching Bar Kapara, he was teaching according to Rabbi Shimon. But from Bar Kapara's standpoint, what's his move? His only move is to accuse Rabbi Chia of lying? The Gemara will not accept that. So the Gemara says, so what they're doing is, the argument of Asachas, again, we're going to keep it on concurrence. The two Yisurim happened at the same moment, and we're arguing within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So Bisham le Rabbi Chia Kemishtaba lafuka le Rabbi Shimon mecheskei. So the Gemara says, now here's what I understand. Now I understand that we're all going according to Rabbi Shimon. And again, the full position of Rabbi Shimon is Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but in concurrence, if they occur simultaneously, even Rabbi Shimon will admit. And the Gemara says, and now look, here's what I understand. I understand Rabbi Chia's emotional reaction. Right? He jumps up, he swears. I get it. Because as long as we're in the position of Rabbi Shimon, what's happening over here? What's happening is that Rabbi Shimon is moving away from his general position. Meaning Rabbi Shimon generally holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser. But if it's concurrent, it's different. And that's why Rabbi Chia is jumping out of his seat. Because this is not normal for Rabbi Shimon. Elabar Kapara Lama Leishtabuye. But according to Bar Kapara, why get so excited? Meaning what's going on over here? We're talking about Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon hold? Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Okay. And it doesn't help if it's Isser Kola, and if it doesn't help if it's Isser Mosif, and it doesn't help if it's Bavas Achas, meaning Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So why doesn't Bar Kapara just simply say, hey, we're talking about Rabbi Shimon? And why does he get so emotional? Why does he jump up? And why does he make a Shvua Kasha? And it's interesting. The Gemara thinks that's a good question. Okay. Bisham ala Bar Kapara kiasna Rabbi Lidide aliba de Rabbi Shimon kiasna le Rabbi Chia aliba de Rabbi Yosi. And again, the Gemara is now going to play the sides. Meaning, the world from Bar Kapara's standpoint is a good world. Because when Rebbe taught him that you only chayiv one, he was teaching him aliba de Rabbi Shimon. And Bar Kapara will say, and look, I understand also from Rabbi Chia's standpoint, when he Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, was teaching Rabbi Chia, was teaching him according to Rabbi Yosi. And that's why you're chayiv two. Good. Ela Rabbi Chia Bar Kapara Shikur Kamishakir. But again, what's going on from Rabbi Chia's standpoint? When he's looking at Bar Kapara and Bar Kapara is saying, you know, you're only chayiv one, Rabbi Chia says, what's Rabbi Chia going to say? You're a liar? Amalcha Rabbi Chia, ki asni Rabbi Lididei, tarti lifner asne. So Rabbi Chia will say it like this. When Rabbi taught me, so he taught me two exemptions. The Isser Kolal Asne, the Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. And he was teaching me Isser Kolal, and he was teaching me according to Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, here's how it would work according to Rabbi Chia. The Gemara now, again, shifts the conversation. Again, we started off by assuming that the case was Isser Kolal. We then assumed that the case was talking about Bavas Achas concurrently, and now the Gemara moves back to assuming that we're talking about Isser Kolal, which means now that we're abandoning the Bavas Achas, and now we're going back to it's one after the other. And when Rebbe taught me the halacha, he was teaching it to me according to Rabbi Shimon, and even Rabbi Shimon who generally does not allow a second Isser to apply to a first Isser, but if it's an Isser Kolal, it would. V'chazila bar kapara. Now here's the mistake. This is now how Rabbi Chia understands the mistake that Bar Kapara made. Because Rabbi Chia said two, and Bar Kapara said one, and how did Bar Kapara arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara says like this. V'chazila bar kapara lezar sha'acha malicha. Lezar sha'acha malicha. Now what Bar Kapara did is he looked at the case of the non-Kohen eating malicha. V'aydi didamile arva bahadayu. Meaning, what happened was that Rebbe did not teach three scenarios. Rebbe only taught two scenarios. Specifically, the first two scenarios. The mistake that Bar Kapara made, according to Rabbi Chia, is that he added a third scenario, which in Bar Kapara's mind is exactly the same. Meaning, a Kohen doing Malika to a bird and the non-Kohen coming along and eating it. It's similar to case number one, and it's similar to case number two. And then what Bar Kapara did after adding, right, kol ha-mosif goreya, right, subtraction by addition. So when Bar Kapara added the third case, then all of a sudden he arrived at an erroneous conclusion. And the erroneous conclusion is, the Gemara goes on to explain, Arva Bahadai, we mix them together, third line down. The Ayin Bani investigated the three cases now. And then he said, oh, you know, it's interesting. What do the three cases have in common? Now, he's looking for the common denominator of the three cases, albeit, of course, that he added the third case. So now the common denominator is going to be a false common denominator because of his addition. But that's exactly Rabbi Chiya's point. And the only way that these three cases are similar to one another is only if they're concurrent. Because remember, the case of Malika is only can be brought about through concurrency. And so therefore, Vesavra middaha bevasachas hanami bevasachas. I mean, hanach liftor, hanach nami liftor. Oh! And so what Bar Kapara said is that, look, here's what Rebbe taught me. Rebbe taught me the first two cases, but then I added a third case, and now because of I thought the third case is very similar to the first two cases, and the only way we're going to arrive at all these three cases only through concurrency. And what did Rebbe teach me? You're chayav only one. Oh, okay, I get it now. This is again Bar Kapara's mistake. And so what resulted then is that Bar Kapara walked away with the erroneous conclusion that if it's bevas achas, so it must be that Rebbe taught him one. And the reason why it's pata is because even with concurrency, Rabbi Shimon won't allow the second Isser to come in. Okay. Admittedly, that was complex. And now the Gemara is going to challenge. Meisvei, zar shishimish b'shabbos abamam, shishimish b'tumah yesh kamishim zaras mishim, shabbos mishim b'amam, mishim tumah divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shimon omer, ein kanela mishim zaras b'amam belvad. Okay. What do we have in this brisa? Exactly what the Gemara just suggested. And that is, a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi is Mechayev 2 and Rabbi Shimon is Mechayev 1. That's all good. But which of the two cases are brought down in this brisa? Only case number 1 and case number 2. And the Gemara makes the obvious observation. Ve'ila Malika Sharye. Malika was left out. Laman Sharye. Now the Gemara says, now why was Malika left out? Ilem le Rabbi Yosi, Hashar Rabbi Yosi, Beisar Kol Mechayev Shtayim, Beisar Basachas Mibaye. Now it wasn't left out of respect for Rabbi Yosi, because imagine, Rabbi Yosi is ready to introduce the second Isser, even if it's Isser Kol, which as we point out in the beginning of the shiur today, Isser Kol is the weakest reason why you would add a second onto a first. But Rabbi Yosi is ready to add that in. So if he's ready to add Isser Kol as a second Isser, but Vasachas is a no-brainer. Concurrency is a no-brainer. El alav Rabbi Shimon uvi Isser Kol hu depata v'abisa b'vasachas mechayev. So it must be that the brisa over here was simply responding to Rabbi Shimon. And the reason why Rabbi Shimon doesn't introduce the second Isser is because it's Isser Kol, which is weak. It's not a strong enough reason to allow a second Isser to be introduced. But if it's bevasachas, if it's concurrent, then even Rabbi Shimon would agree that for concurrency, you would allow a second Isser to be introduced to Yufta debar Kapara to Yufta. To which the Gemara says, okay, now we can conclude. So now we arrive at the conclusion that on the topic of Isser Chalal Isser, ain't Isser Chalal Isser. So again, just to lay everything out. According to Rabbi Yossi, he generally speaking is more inclusive. I mean that word both literally and figuratively in the context of our discussion. Rabbi Yossi is more inclusive. He will allow a second Isser to come onto the first Isser. But there has to be, but with a proviso. Only if the second Isser is Mosif, adds more people, Kolel, more inclusive, adds more items, or Bevasachas, or if it comes concurrently. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says that only bevasachas, only if they occur concurrently, then and only then will the second Isser apply. But if it's Isser Kola, and arguably, if it's Isser Mosif, Rabbi Shimon will not allow the second Isser to go on to the first Isser as well. And what about Bar Kapara? The Gemara says Tiyufta. Meaning Bar Kapara's viewpoint of Rebbe is not the accepted viewpoint of Rebbe. Rebbe was Mechayev 2, was Mechayev 2, and presumably it's because he subscribes, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yossi.
Okay. But in terms of, in general, when we have Rabbi Yossi, when against Rabbi Shimon, do we have Rabbi
Yossi? We have Rabbi Yossi, correct. Zar Shishimish B'Shabbos B'Mai. Gemara now just wants to tie up one loose end. We described a non-Kohen doing avoda on Shabbos. So what exactly did he do? E B'Shchita Shchita B'Zar K'Shevas. The Gemara says, well, it's not Shchita because we know that a non-Kohen can do Shchita. So the Ibe Kabbalah V'Alacha Tiltabamahu, and if we're talking about receiving the blood or delivering the blood, walking the blood to the Mizbeach, that's not Malacha. That's, the Gemara says, Muktzah.
But,
it's Kabbalah, no? In other words, there are avodas, but there's no violation of Shabbos. We're looking for a violation of Shabbos.
But there's no carrying in the...
No, I mean you're right. You're enclosed by a wall. Ibak Torah, and the Gemara says, and what about burning? So the Gemara says, remember, we're describing Rav Yossi. What did Rav Yossi? In other words, we have to always keep in mind, Rav Yossi is of the opinion that lighting a fire on Shabbos, burning something on Shabbos, is not a malacha with an iser kares. It's a lav. It's only a negative prohibition. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov b'shchitas parsha kohen gadol ukedivrei ha'omer shchitas parsha kohen gadol b'zar psula. So the Gemara gives an ukimta where we're talking about the shechting of the bull of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, where it cannot be done. The shechting cannot be done by a non kohen. Ihachim ayir zarafil a kohen hegenami. So the Gemara says, if you're right, so why are we excluding a non kohen? You can even exclude kohanim because only the kohen gadol can shecht his bull on Yom Kippur. Shezarit Fokamar. So the Gemara says, when we say Zar, we mean anyone who's not a Kohen Gadol. Mazgal of Ravashi, Midichatos Katani. So the Gemara says, now, Ravashi says, look, you don't have to do that. Meaning we can go back to saying that it was just a regular non-Kohen shechting an animal on Shabbos. And burning, and the Malacha Shabbos comes on the burning. And the Gemara says, and what was the issue? Well, that's Rav Yossi, and it's not a Karban Chatas. The Gemara says, that's fine. We never said we're talking about Karban Chatas. Say, Ilavi Katani, I'm sorry, Midi Chatas Katani, Olavi Katani. Does it say Chatas? Does it say Lav? El Isur Ba'alma Kachashim. We're just talking about the number of liabilities. How does that liability manifest? Okay. So if it's Chil Shabbos with a Malacha, so Kares, or Chatas. If it's lighting a fire according to Rav Yossi, a Lav. All we're saying is the number of liabilities. Kachashiv, lamay nafkamina, lekover ben rishon gemurah. And the Gemara says, and again, we'll go back to what we said yesterday, in terms of lamay nafkamina, practically speaking, what difference does it make how many yisurim are counting? Where he's going to be buried? Is he going to be buried amongst the rishayim or the rishayim gemurim?
Are there any other practical defenses
in terms
besides the burial?
If we're not talking about a karmel chatos, if we're not talking about malchus, I don't know. I assume the answer would be yes, but offhand I can't think of one.
Isn't cooking the animal a malacha?
Well, I mean, but that's not an avoda. Meaning, it has to be, in other words, the Venn diagram that we're drawing, it has to be Chol Shabbos and it has to be an avoda. And we're looking where those two overlap. So it would be shechita, but a non-kohen can do shechita. So you're really limited in terms of what's in the center of that diagram. Okay. All right, good. Let's start the next Mishnah. Okay. This Mishnah is strange. Huh?
In Yavama, that's strange.
No, I mean, I understand that, but this is okay. Well, let's go. All right. We assume like Rabbi Yossi and on the issue of Enes or Chalasa. Okay. Shnaim Shikichtu Shtei Nashim. Two men were Mekadosh, two women of Ashas Knesa, some of the Chuppah, Hichlifu Es Shel Zeh Lezeh Ve'es Shel Zeh Lezeh. And at the Chuppah, the wives got switched. Now remember, they were Mekadosh, which means that at the point of Kedushin, obviously one woman was identified as the wife of one of them, and one was identified as the wife of the other. So at the point now of Chuppah, and in the taking them home for the Bir Rishona, so now they're taking home the other wives. The Gemara will clarify, but let me do it right now. We're not talking where this was done intentionally, this was done inadvertently, it was an accident. Okay? Obviously... And the level of drama, we're talking high drama over here. But now we don't have to be dramatic about it. We could remain totally unemotional, and we just simply look at it from a clinical standpoint. What to do under these circumstances? So hechlifu shelzeh lazev shelzeh lazev hare elu chayavim mishom eshesish. So the liability is going to be now eshesish, meaning they both slept with other men's wives. So that's adultery. That's Eshes Ish.
But if it's his first Bia, and then consummated marriage of the first guy, is it really Eshes Ish?
Yes, it is. Right? Kedushin. Kedushin creates, and let me say it clearly. Kedushin creates Ishus. At the point that man's Mekadosh a woman, that's Ishus. V'imayu achin, mishom Eshes ach. Now, what if they're brothers? So if they're brothers, so tack on another liability, and that is Eshes Ach. V'imayu achayos, mishom Isha el achos. Now, if they were sisters, so that tack on another Isser. And that's Yishalach Chosev, Imayu Nidos. And if they were also menstruating, Misham Nida. So tack on another Isur, Mafrish Nosam Shosha Chadashim. Now what? Meaning, okay, now we counted the liabilities. Now let's move forward. Now everyone's going to get the wife back. And by the way, and it's going to be one of the clearest proofs that the Gemara is going to bring down, that obviously we're talking about Shogeg. If we were talking about Mezid, they would not be able to return back to their husbands. So Umafrishin Osan,
huh?
Right. That is a good point. Umafrishin Osan Shlosha Chadashim, and now what they have to do is they have to separate for their husbands for 3 months for the establishment of paternity. We want to know who the father is, if in the event they become pregnant. Shema Mur Barasen. Gemara is going to ask that question. Vim Hayu Ketanoshen Ruleled Machzir Osam Yad. Now, if they were ketanos, then that means that they did, pregnancy is not a consideration. So then they can go back to their husbands immediately. V'yimayu kohanos nifsulus min truma. And if they were kohanos, they become disqualified from truma. Okay, and another possible girsa in the Gemara is kahuna, and we'll discuss that at a later time. The Gemara is going to discuss that later. Okay. Hechlifu, here's the Gemara's first question. And that is, look at the language of the Mishnah. They swapped wives. No, and that can't be. Meaning, we're not talking that people don't behave in such a manner. Unfortunately, people do. But the Gemara says, but the Mishnah is going to teach us a halacha about such people? That's strange. And on top of that, Rabbi Chia taught in a braisa that here's a scenario where the Beis HaMikdash that day is going to be very busy, as they're going to be fielding 16 Chatas animals, right? Four people involved, each of the four people violating four Isurim. Okay, so ring them up now for 16 carbon chatases. Obviously, and the Gemara makes the point, Ibn Mezid Meika carbon. Well, if we're talking about Mezid, so there's no carbon. Okay. I'm reviewed at Tini Huchlifu. So the Gemara says, not Hechalifu, but Huchlifu. Okay, a little grammar for today. Right, Hochlufu is nifal. It is not active, it's passive, meaning it happened. Nobody did this intentionally. So the Gemara says, let's try to bring some evidence to this. Meaning, we know it's correct. It's a correct shot in the Mishnah. But let's just look for evidence that this is in fact so. The Mishnah says that if they're incapable of giving birth, meaning they're too young, so then they go back immediately. So the Gemara says, now Mezid, if they did so intentionally, are they allowed to go back? So the Gemara says, well, kasha pitua ketana ino onis ninu. So the Gemara says, well, if they're minors, so even if they do so, what they call willingly, but there's no such thing as willingly when it comes to a minor, it's by definition, it's onis. We have such laws in America, it's called statutory rape. In other words, we just assume that under a certain age, there's no real consent. So the Gemara says, so that in of itself is not enough proof to show that our Mishnah is talking about Bishogig and not talking about Memezid. The onus be Yisrael, Mishra Shari. And we know that if it's an onus, so then she's still permitted to her husband. So Ella Diktani Mafrishin Osam Shosha Chadashim Shemum Obarusein. So the Gemara says fine, but the next line of the Mishnah for sure is proof that we're talking about Shogig, because if they are old enough to give birth, if they could have become impregnated, so then we wait 3 months and they go back to their husbands. So Hala Mubaru Sharian, Vahab Mezim Ishari, Allah Shmamina, Hufu Shmamina. So Gemara says that's excellent proof. That for sure shows that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Shogig and not a case of Mezim. Exciting. Uman Haitana de Isle Isakola the Isamosa de Isabas Achas. And as if for a moment you thought that we were changing gears in today's daf, we are not. We are on task. The Gemara says, well, how did this happen? Meaning, I'm not asking, and neither is the Gemara. How we got to this scenario, because quite frankly, that's not important for our discussion. What is important for our discussion is, halachically, how can there be 16 different Isurim? Meaning, we have a rule, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. That's what we've been discussing for the entirety of today. So how do you get to one Isser, tack on another Isser, tack on a third Isser, tack on a fourth Isser? How do you get to that? So the Gemara says, and in order to get to that, you have to subscribe to Kolal, Mosif, and Basachas. Let's do it. Okay, look at the first Rashi on the Amud, because Rashi is now going to take us step by step how we get to every one of these isurim. The masisin de islay isur chalal isur bein al yedei kol bein be isur mosu bein al yedei bas achas kegon. So Rashi over here is going to take a step by step how we get to four, how we get to all four isurim using the principles of kol mosif and bas achas. Rashi writes kegon elu shechayim amar bechatas ukeshikidesh ruv benesrach otchila nesrach shomer mishum eishes ach veishes ish v'hainu bevas achas. So if Reuven marries his wife first, so Shimon now is prohibited through Eishes Ish, they married, Eishes Ach, and that occurs concurrently. And now Shimon does Kiddushin to the sister. Now, by Shimon being Mekadesh Leah, so now more women become prohibited to him, meaning the sister, the other sisters. So that's what's called the Sokolo. Since they become prohibited to him, so now the Isser, which with the sister, which is already Asur to him, through Eishesith Ish, through Ach, through Eishesach, also is going to be prohibited through Achos Ishta, using the principle of Kolo. And now she becomes a Nida. Migudi tosef iser ala legabe bala mishum nida itosef nami iser legabe shimon are iser mosif. And now she becomes a nida, she becomes prohibited to her husband. Since she becomes prohibited to her husband, she also becomes prohibited through her, to her brother-in-law, even though the prohibition already exists, because that's the principle of mosif, because that includes other people. Okay. So now that is the scenario in which, using the principles of Kol HaMosif and Bavas Achas, we can have all four Isurim apply. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Rabbi Meir, he did Tanya. So the Gemara says, you know who that is? That's Rabbi Meir. We learned in a Braisa. A person can eat one food and ring up on his liability list four Karban Chataces and one Karban Ashan. So tummy shachal chaylev. So let's say you have a person who's a tummy, and he eats chaylev, the forbidden fats of an animal. V'hu nosar, and that piece of fat also happens to be left over from a carbon, meaning it was every carbon has a halachic shelf life of either 1 or 2 days, depending on whether it's a chatas or a shlamim. And so it's beyond the shelf life, it's nosar. So that's also another prohibition. Another chatas prohibition, by the way. Mena mukdashin. And it belonged to Hakdesh. Be Yom HaKippur, and eats on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Meir, Omri, Ma'isah Shabbos, Votziya Beviv, Chayev. And Rabbi Meir says, look, as long as we are looking to find out what is the maximum number of Yisroim that one can generate by eating, so Rabbi Meir says, you know what? If he walks outside on Shabbos, so he'll be Chayev also for carrying on Shabbos. Rashi points out that the fact that it was Yom Kippur, why didn't that in of itself... Yeah, why is that also at a liability? Okay, so Rashi deals with that question. So, understood. But anyway, but Amar lo einam min hashem. And they say to Rabbi Meir, look, I appreciate your contribution to the discussion, but einam min hashem, meaning we're looking for the iser achila. The fact that it's in his mouth and he's carrying, that's just not part of the curse. Rabbi Meir, aliba damani, aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so let's pause over here. So we have, and tomorrow I'll start with the Rashi, but we have now a scenario in which we know that Rabbi Meir subscribes to everything. Isser Kolol, Isser Mosif, Bevas Achas. So the Gemara says, so our Mishnah that describes the wife swap, but it's not a wife swap. It was inadvertent. It was shogeg. But in that scenario, we can have each participant, meaning all four of them, be violating four carbon chattises, four liabilities, which results in 16 carbon chattises, using the principle of kol mosif and bavas achas, and the Gemara points out that that is Rabbi Meir.